tonight is the heart of a servant and what God wants us to be as we're following in the steps of Jesus. Good evening. Welcome. We're happy that you're here tonight. Good to see each of you. Just doing a quick head count, preacher count, and I'm glad that you're here. Happy that you're here tonight. So, it's been a good day. It's been a full day, maybe a long day, and I'm very much aware of that. I don't know if you've been keeping up, but probably for the last 2 or 3 months, I've been preaching like 20-minute sermons. Did you notice? Oh, a lot of you, look at you. This morning it was twice as long. It was about 44 minutes this morning. And let me just, I just got to tell you how it works. Maybe you're better than me, maybe you could do this better than me, and if so, I welcome you to come try. But I'll tell you this, that when it comes to preaching, my whole thing is that whenever I think about the clock, the preaching suffers. It just does. When I get lost in the message, it's always better. I got lost in the message this morning. So for those that enjoy ravenous preaching, then pray for long sermons. That's all I know to say, if it's what you want. But I appreciate the response from the sermon this morning and the message that I delivered. If you did not yet pick up one of those books, they're free for you, thanks to the generosity of one of our members here. And so you can pick one of those up and encourage you to do so. We've still got plenty left. And so wanting to encourage you to get one, but only get one if you're going to use it. If you're going to read it, you're going to study the message, consider it, and then use it as a tool to disciple others and share your faith. So, the sermon was long this morning, like 44 minutes, and then we had a wonderful time this afternoon giving comfort to a family. So, some of you have been here probably most of the day, and so I'm very much aware of that. I have a short word for you tonight. So, are you ready? Okay, so here's what I got for you. There's an old saying that says, everybody likes sausage, but nobody likes to know how it's made. During the holidays, most of us, I bet you were, I know I was, most of us are invited to lots of social gatherings. You probably were invited over to somebody's house for a party, or you went somewhere where there was a big to-do, and you show up to the place, and it's beautiful. The decorations are gorgeous. The place is spotless. And there's a wonderful meal that is just waiting. It's warm and prepared with all the garnishes and sides. And you enjoy the food and the pleasant conversation. What you don't see is how the sausage was made. All of us like showing up somewhere and enjoying the benefit of somebody's hard work. And oftentimes we can show up somewhere and enjoy the benefit and never really give a thought to the hours and hours and hours of labor and work that went on behind the scenes before you ever stepped in the door. You didn't see the hours of sweeping, scrubbing, cooking, washing. You simply showed up to enjoy the results of that immense effort. Now, with that in your mind, I want us to think about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It is so easy to want to show up to Christian community and enjoy the benefit of somebody else's effort and never really think about just how much effort went in to creating that. Nearing the end of Jesus' life, he gathers in an upper room. He's there with his closest followers. Now, you have to understand that in those days, the roads were dusty. And and the feet sandaled and grimy and dirty. Meals were served on low tables that sat very low to the ground, and everyone would recline at the table on cushions. And your face, although near the food at the table, would also be near something else, the feet of other people also reclining at the table. Now, the usual custom of the day was when you went to such a place, were invited somewhere for a meal such as this, that there would be a servant that was stationed at the door with a basin of water and a towel. And as people entered the room, the first thing that would happen is they would remove their footwear and their feet would be washed. But this particular night, there is no servant at the door. And as the disciples enter the room, they don't even seem to notice there is no servant at the door, because their conversation and their minds are consumed with grumbling about which of them is the greatest in the kingdom. 12 sets of dirty feet traipsing into the room. And that's where our story begins. John 13, beginning at verse 2. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He said to Simon Peter, or rather, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but wash my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand," he said, "what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." This is God's word. Jesus models for us the life of a servant. And he calls us to imitate him. But do you realize what that means? It is so easy for me to sing, "Make me a servant, Lord, make me like you." It's so easy to talk about Christian service. But do I realize what it means to take on the life of a servant? If I truly become a servant, you know what happens with my contributions? You know what the contributions of a servant are like? Often they're unnoticed. People just assume that it's going to get done. People don't notice the work the servant's done. He's a servant. He's the one in the background doing all the stuff that is unnoticed. The contribution of a servant most of the time is unappreciated. And it's just expected. The life and the contribution of a servant is one that most people will take advantage of. You just know that going in. The contribution of a servant, most of the time, is thankless. And Jesus says, "Do you understand what I have done for you? Now you go and do it." I don't know about you, I probably do. I know about me, I know about us, I know about human nature. Our tendency is that we want to be noticed. We want to be appreciated. We don't want to be taken advantage of. But servants are rarely noticed. Jesus was the greatest person this night. He's the greatest person in the room. If there was a person that is the guest of honor, would it not be Jesus for this meal? Think about this. There was never a place Jesus did not, never a room he ever walked into, never a party he went to, Cana's wedding feast, any place. There's nowhere before Pilate, there's nowhere Jesus ever went before Caiaphas, there is nowhere Jesus ever went that he was not the greatest person in the room, ever. And yet, what did he do? He lowered himself to become a servant. There's nobody like Jesus. There is no religious leader that has ever been that's like him. There is something otherworldly about Jesus. Jesus tells us, go do the same. The life of a servant is one that often, as I said, goes unnoticed, it goes unappreciated, and yet this is the life that Jesus calls his followers to embrace. This is the humble mindset and lifestyle that we must choose daily to once again take upon ourselves, because it runs absolutely against the current of our self-filled fallen natures. The fallen nature says, "What's in it for me?" The Christian nature says, "The interest of others before self." And so we must daily take on the mind of Christ, serving others, even if we're never recognized for it, if we never are noticed for it. Jesus calls us to be a servant at the door, washing feet. Paul speaks of this directly in a passage that you and I know very well. Many of us could quote it. Again, just to stimulate our thinking, I share it from a different perspective from the Eugene Peterson's The Message. This passage from Philippians 2, many scholars believe is an early Christian hymn that is recorded in Scripture. You ever wonder what it is that was the stuff of the worship songs of the early church? It was this kind of stuff. I started to make a snide comment about some of the songs that we sing, but I won't do that. Some songs, and I don't mean just we, but even songs that you hear on the radio, some of them, they're great ones, but some are very self-absorbed. And some of them are very shallow, and yet here's what they would sing. Philippians 2, 3-11. Again, this is a paraphrase just to kind of get it fresh in our minds. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, becoming human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far above anything or everything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. Amen. Right? That's our Jesus. Though being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but humbling himself. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. That's more familiar to you, isn't it? Taking on the form of a servant, dying even the death on a cross. He stood by the door with a basin of water and a towel, being the greatest person in the room. And he took the life in the role of a servant and said, "Do you understand what I have done to you? I'm calling you. If you really are going to be my followers, this is what you're to go do." There are thousands upon thousands of thankless, unnoticed acts of kindness and service that occur every day in the lives of Christians and churches in this world. Many of which never go noticed. If you came to Betty's memorial, her celebration of life this afternoon, Randy already preached this sermon in talking about Betty Allen, because that's what Betty did. And I loved how he celebrated and gave such a beautiful honor to her, to talk about that's the kind of life she lived, the life of a servant. It's what Christ's followers, it's the lifestyle. See, following Jesus is not just a belief system. It's a lifestyle you choose to embrace. That's what we got to understand. That's what a lot of folks don't understand. A lot of folks think Christianity is just a belief system. It's like the religion that I choose. It is a lifestyle that you're being called to. And it is the life of a servant. And I have to ask myself, and I bet you do too, am I following Jesus? Because everything else in my life besides Jesus is calling me to do the opposite. Right, am I right? It's calling me to be self-absorbed. It's calling me to look out for number one. It's calling me to I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I got other stuff going on. It's calling me off to anything but this. But you see, when Jesus did this, think of how otherworldly it would be for the Son of God to take this position. How he would have to humble himself. If the Son of God can do this, and he does it to the point of death on a cross to save me, how can I not take on the life of a servant? How can I not? Doing things to serve others because of Jesus is a life filled with acts that most will never see, but it is the life of a servant, and that's why Jesus reminds us that there is someone who does see every one of them. Not even a cup of cold water, when given in my name, is without its reward. Jesus says, your Father who sees in secret what is done in the secret places will reward you openly. Matthew 6 and verse 4. There was a single statement this has been the last two or three weeks, a single statement that came across my news feed through, I think, a Facebook account. Many of you saw the statement too, because I saw where you liked it. I liked it too. And this particular statement was really kind of the thing that was the impetus that got me thinking about this sermon. And I want to close with it tonight. This guy, he's a senior pastor at Houston Northwest Church. I don't know anything about him or his church. But I like the post that he made that's been going around social media. I thought it was profound. He said, sometimes I joke around with people about what I'd do if I just had one more day to live. Maybe I'd eat all the junk food I wanted. Or I'd go crazy doing anything I wanted to do. And he said, and then today it hit me. Jesus knew he had one more day to live, and he washed feet. The message is yours. Let's pray about it. Our Father in heaven, we confess to you how often we slip into the ways of the world and we become self-absorbed and selfish, and we hoard our time and our money and our attention. Thank you for this reminder as we see Jesus in the upper room the night when he was betrayed, washing feet. Help us to take the life of the servant and to follow in his example. Be patient with us, Lord. Give us the help we need. Forgive us when we have not taken this life. And help us to be more devoted each day, more convicted more centered upon the Jesus life that calls us to serve one another. In His name we pray. Amen. All right, let's be standing. We're going to sing a song together. As we do, if there's anything we can do to help you tonight in your spiritual walk, we want to do so. Let's sing together.